You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The completely redesigned ClevelandBrowns.com is here. Visit it now. Right now, you check out some great content. One piece that I call your attention to, Kevin Jones, our staff writer, wrote about a very courageous employee of the Browns. I'll just tell you that much. It's a very, very interesting piece. A lot of people, it's getting a lot of clicks as we see throughout the day, and rightfully so. It's an amazing, amazing story of a young, courageous guy who works for us in the front office. Also, you've got my daily kickoff piece where we kind of take a look at what's going on around the National Football League. All right, very happy to have with us right now because we want to talk a little bit about A.J. McCarron, the quarterback, former quarterback for the Alabama Crimson Tide, a man who covered that team and covered that player. Andrew Gribble from AL.com, and it turns out from Strongsville, Ohio. Andrew, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Great. Great to have you with us. And so we want to get some analysis of A.J. McCarron. As you're aware, reports are the Browns are planning to work him out this weekend, and I guess also reportedly planning to have him here in Berea next week. Your sense of where he is in all the discussion, because he's clearly not someone that anyone talks about among that top grouping, but hearing some of the comments he's made about that, he seems to be taking it in stride. Or, Andrew, does he carry a chip on his shoulder?
Well, I think clearly A.J. McCarron carries a chip on his shoulder, and that's been clear pretty much since day one at Alabama, and I guess, and it's really kind of come to light, you know, in this draft process, and I think that's kind of what motivates him. I think he, for years at Alabama, he heard about how he was a game manager and really wasn't, you know, this elite quarterback prospect, and not just in all of college football, but even within the SEC. You know, some people would always say that he wasn't even one of the top five best players on his own team. And he heard all that, and he handled it well with the media. And anytime he was asked about being a game manager, he said that was a great thing because you're totally in control of the game. But, you know, ever since his final game at Alabama, I think he's done pretty much everything right. You know, he took a lot of heat for not doing the Senior Bowl. You know, he's from Mobile. His family's pretty prominent down there. It was a big deal when he turned them down, but I think he shifted his focus to working on what he needed to get better at, which was throwing the deep ball and being more consistent with that. He's worked with a private quarterback coach who he's worked with basically since he was in middle school, and he's really focused on that. He had a good pro day, a good combine, and that's why he's kind of I've certainly seen his draft stock go up. I haven't really seen it go down, but he's kind of in that murky kind of second, third round range where really at that point it's all about fit.
Andrew, it's Michael Regei. Great to hear from you. Happy for your success in Alabama, my man.
It's been a good time. It's been a few years since it's been 6 years since I lived up in Ohio.
But right.
It's been great.
Yeah, excellent. Andrew, I first met Nick Saban back in 1990 and called a lot of his games when he was head coach at both Toledo and Michigan State. In the system, in Saban's NFL system, how much do you think that has helped escalate the development and has benefited A.J. McCarron in his quest to become an NFL QB?
Well, I think it certainly helped, and he played under two different offensive coordinators here at Alabama. He played for Jim McElwain, who's now the head coach over at Colorado State, and he played for Doug Nussmeier, who's now over at Michigan. But the offense really under Saban, there could be different coordinators, but it's going to be basically the same philosophy, and that even applies now with Lane Kiffin down here. You know, so I think that helped him, and I think that's why some people say, you know, he might not be the best quarterback prospect in the entire draft, but he might be the most NFL ready and one of those guys that you can maybe plug in right away. I've seen that comparison to maybe Andy Dalton down in Cincinnati, where he wasn't obviously the top prospect, but he picked things up pretty quickly. So, you know, I think that helps. And I think the thing with McCarron within Saban's offense was he got a lot of trust from Saban. I think that more trust than Saban usually gives his quarterbacks. He was free to audible at the line of scrimmage and kind of all these things called check with me plays. And, you know, he did well with that. And I think his senior year, especially Saban kind of let him have as much control as Saban is able to do. You know, obviously Saban's a pretty controlling guy, but you know, I think he's one of those guys that Saban just absolutely loved and trusted, and having a QB there for 3 years as a starter, it certainly helped him. And I think that's why you're seeing more and more NFL teams liking what they're seeing.
Yeah, I think that's the key here, is that he's maximizing his opportunity now in the offseason to make the case stronger that perhaps video will make, is going to give it some foundation, but this notion that that's all he is just a game manager and a smart quarterback, that there's more to him than that. I mean, do you get the sense that, and where do you see it in the strides that maybe he's made trying to throw the football? I didn't love the way he threw it, quite honestly, watching him at the combine in Indianapolis, but I've heard since then he's done a better job. So who's been working with him, and how is it going in that route?
Well, you know, he's been working with David Morris down in Jackson, Mississippi. David Morris is kind of he used to be a quarterback at Ole Miss. He backed up Eli Manning down there at that point in time. And, you know, he's really kind of grown this kind of this enterprise called QB Country. He's now working with Alabama's quarterback of the future right now in Jacob Coker. And he worked in Jackson, Mississippi with Logan Kilgore, who's a kind of a late-round prospect from Middle Tennessee. And I think the key thing was he just is focused on the deep ball and focused on things that people have claimed are his weaknesses. And I think that, maybe his weaknesses have been maybe overblown a little bit in the media, because I remember at the time last year when he was kind of being tossed around as a Heisman candidate, and the people who were really skeptical about that would kind of nitpick at some of these flaws, if he underthrew his receiver or something like that. But I think he's focused on that, and I think his pro day especially was very impressive. I think he was throwing passes with Kevin Norwood, his favorite target at Alabama, and he looked good doing it. And pretty much at that point, he felt like he had proven all he could. And I think that, I think that's why a good comparison maybe at this point in time, and a favorable one for him, is kind of that EJ Manuel comparison, because he really rose up the draft boards late in the process. I'm definitely not saying that AJ McCarron is going to go in the first round. I'd be surprised if that happened. But he went from maybe being a third to fourth round kind of guy in January to now to maybe that safer second to third round area.
Strongsville's own Andrew Gribble, now covering the Alabama Crimson Tide for AL.com, joining us. All right, Andrew, about Nick Saban's football team, the disappointment last year of maybe not being able to play for a third national championship because of the missed field goal kickoff return against the hated Auburn Tigers. But can Saban get his football team back there with without A.J. McCarron this year? And just quickly give us an idea how you feel that they will bounce back from their disappointment a year ago.
Yeah, they're saying all the right things at this point in the process. I think they've identified the last year's team, for some reason, just didn't kind of have the right commitment, the right attitude, the right personality to kind of win that close game at the end of the year and then kind of go to the Sugar Bowl and really just not play very well at all. But I think those two losses have kind of, motivated them. They've given them motivation they really didn't have at this time last year. And I think that offensively, Alabama's in really good shape outside of the quarterback situation. But Jacob Coker, who backed up Jameis Winston, many said that there was a legit competition for him between him and Jameis Winston in August. He's going to join the team in the summer and is considered the favorite to win the job. I think there's some questions on defense, especially in the secondary. That area has been an issue for a couple of years, and I think that really is what burns Saban the most, because that's the area of the team he works with the most. Mm-hmm. So the key is kind of developing some cornerbacks. They had a projected starter go down with a torn ACL last week in Eddie Jackson. He's supposed to be ready by the season opener, but I don't think they're holding their breath for that. So I think the key is developing guys in the secondary, a couple guys at linebacker, and just getting better in pass rush. And I think they're going to be a top five team to start the year. The schedule's pretty favorable, so they're going to be a contender no matter what.
Andrew, thank you so much for the time and for the knowledge, buddy. We appreciate it.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, he is Andrew Gribble, AL.com, covers the Alabama Crimson Tide. And he is a Strongsville, Ohio native. All right, we are going to shift gears. And on the line with us right now is the Browns punter, Spencer Lanning. He is part of a visit. Several Browns players, Jordan Cameron, Greg Little, Jason Pinkston, Martin Wallace, all part of a visit of some young patients at the University Hospital, Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital. And we are very pleased to have him with us, right now. Spencer, first of all, thank you for joining us, bud. How you doing?
Doing pretty well. How about yourself?
All right. So tell us this, because this isn't a new thing. You've been around this league, or at least around long enough. I know you're still a fairly new player to the NFL, but the opportunities to go out and about in the community, I'm sure feels great, Spencer. But more than anything, what it does for these young kids that you get to visit.
It's a pretty amazing experience, and it's something we were sort of talking about today. It never gets old when you walk into these kids' rooms and you see the whole family sort of line up and these kids line up, and just the look on their faces. It really sort of puts a lot into perspective. And I tell you, we're very fortunate here in Cleveland to have the Rainbow's Babies and Children's Hospital. They do a terrific job there, and it was a top-class facility.
Spencer, it must be very gratifying and heartwarming, too, because I'm sure you get a sense from the families at how much being a professional athlete in the Cleveland Brown means to these young kids that have the opportunity to interact with you. Is that all part of the glow that it gives you, knowing that, again, these young kids idolize you and your peers so much?
Yeah, I mean, it really sort of touches your soul. You can't help but just walk around with a giant smile on your face. And the really cool part about this entire experience and every experience we've been a part of when we go to these hospitals and visit patients is, like you said, they look up to us. But by the end of the day, we end up being fans of them and start looking at them as role models because they're fighters. And I can't imagine the strength and fortitude that they have to sort of get through what they're going through. So anything we can do as the Cleveland Browns to help our community, we're all about.
Spencer Lanning, Browns punter, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Spencer, let's talk about what you've seen and heard around you as part of the off-season workouts that are now into their second week, and just the vibe that you're picking up with a new coaching staff and so forth and new players in the building.
I think there's a lot of enthusiasm. I think that, everybody's really, I don't like to use sort of cliches, but everybody's hungry. There's a different aura around the facility. Everybody seems really content and confident. And, I heard Hawk say the other day in an interview, it is probably the hardest we're working. It's the hardest I've worked since I've been in the NFL. It reminds me a lot of a college workout system. Coach Paul has done a terrific job in his staff of explaining why we are working out the way we are. And I think it's a lot easier for us to buy in and sell out and, really commit to the movements we're doing because we understand that it's all about injury prevention and actually trying to help us become better football players and better athletes.
Browns punter Spencer Lanning joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, after he and some of his teammates visited young patients at Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital. Spencer, can you categorize or give Browns fans an idea, as you just touched on, the organization bringing in not just veterans like Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner and even Paul McQuiston, Nate Burleson, veterans, yes, but guys who've been part of winning, who've participated in Super Bowls, gone deep into playoffs. How can that resonate with this football team?
The one thing that you just mentioned, all those guys, Dansby, Whitner, the one word I would use to describe all those guys that we've signed is that they're passionate about the game, and they're passionate about being a part of something special here. And, like you said, that resonates through our entire team. And you can't help to, buy in and sort of get really excited every morning when you see these guys and just how passionate about, the game of football. I mean, we're playing a child's game at a high level. And, it's unbelievable to be a part of something and to be around some of these guys, especially, some of the older guys that we've signed.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, Spencer, is a lot of references to, culture changing and so forth. Much of that comes by obviously developing that mindset, and it starts with the coaching staff and so forth. But also I think when the influence that these other players have, they show up with playoff pedigree and whatnot. And I'm sure they don't necessarily have to walk around and say, hey guys, I was in the playoffs. You as teammates know that about them.
Absolutely. Everybody's watched. That's something cool about my job is that, when we play on Sunday, I still go through fandom, and I still sit there and say, you know, holy cow, I remember watching him a couple of years ago when I was a child or something like that. And, you know, one of the main things that Coach Pettine said the other day in the team meeting that really stuck with me is that we're going to do things the right way, and we're going to do them – we're going to repeat things so many times so that we're able to expect to win in certain situations. We're not going to hope. We're not going to, you know, try to be ready. We're going to expect to win and expect to come out on top.
Hey, in addition to what you're doing over there at and with the kids and such, you and the other players, you also are involved with a foundation that Billy Cundiff has going. Tell us a little bit about that, Spencer.
Absolutely. It's called Colleen's Dream, and it's basically research. We're trying to promote research for ovarian cancer. You know, everybody has a mother, grandmother, you know, and 1 in 69 women will be diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And if it's not caught early on, the survival rates go down exponentially. So, you know, we raised over $10,000 with the help of Cleveland, and all that money will stay in our city to help promote young investigators, try to increase the education and research, to try to, you know, develop a more comprehensive early detection system.
Right.
And you know, it means the world to me and Billy. We both come from backgrounds where we've lost people to ovarian cancer. So, you know, I can't be happier to help work with Billy on this.
That's awesome, Spencer. God bless both of you and all you guys for what you did today out there and what you continue to do in the community. Thanks for your time, Bell.
All right. Thank you. We'll see you, buddy.
All right. Spencer Lanning, punter for the Browns, talking with us. And, again, we've got we're fortunate, Michael, on this football team to have guys like that. And you know, It's just a nice thing. Those families going through all that they're going through, and
sure,
University Hospitals Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital, which does tremendous work for a lot of young people, and having Spencer Lanning and other players out there to brighten their day just a little bit.
Committed
is
athletes.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
Want to thank Spencer Lanning for joining us. Also want to thank Jim Donovan from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network for being with us as well. Want to thank Andrew Gribble. AL.com, Strongsville native, covers Alabama and gave us a lot of good download on A.J. McCarron, so we appreciate him stopping by. And, of course, Nathan Zagura stopping by, the man for whom you filled in today. And Nathan will be back with us again tomorrow and Friday. Michael, I want to thank you for great work all week with us.
Appreciate it, Vic. Look forward to you. Have a great vacation
next
week,
right? I was going to say, next week you are in this seat.
I'll be in for you. Look forward to it.
For the whole week. So
love it.
Appreciate it. We love having you with us. Want to thank Megan Rock for all her great work, tweeting and reading the tweetage on the air, and our tremendous producer, Jason Gibbs. Appreciate that. Stay tuned. Hooley and Gerard is coming up. For Michael, I'm Vic, saying you've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, and we're driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.